Everything that we're doing this morning is geared towards coming together to what we call the table of the Lord, where there's bread there and there's wine there. And I don't know about you young people, but I think there's very little better in life than sitting down to a meal that you know you're going to enjoy and with people that you know you're going to enjoy it with. Is that true for most of us? I think it's great, isn't it? My son and his wife and their three boys are going to come and join us for lunch after the service about 4 o'clock. No, I'm only joking. But it's something I'm looking forward to because I know who's coming. I know what great company they're going to be. And the Lord Jesus has laid out a table for us because, do you know what? He wants our company. And he enjoys being with us and sharing these precious times with him. One of the most famous verses in the Bible. Some of you older ones may know it. Some of you younger ones may not. You can look it up when you get home. Revelation 3 verse 20. We're told Jesus stands at the door to our hearts and knocks. And then he says this. If anyone hears my voice, if you're listening to what I'm telling you, and you open up the door of your life to me, I'm going to come in. And do you know what he's going to come in and do? He says he's going to come in and he's going to eat with us. And he's going to drink with us. He wants a meal with us. Isn't that marvellous? Because good company and a good meal, I think, is about as good as it gets for a lot of us. I was struggling this week. I was trying to think, have I ever sat down for a meal with anybody that I didn't enjoy the meal with and sharing it together with them? I couldn't think of anybody. The only time I'm disappointed with company when I sit down for a meal is when I'm eating alone. Any of you ever feel that? Because a meal's much better shared, isn't it? I think so. And this is what we've got the opportunity to do this morning, and why I've got this table here, because I hope as we prepare this table, we'll get ourselves prepared for this table when we come to eat that bread and drink that juice in a few moments' time. So I need you to listen carefully so that you are prepared. And that's the first thing that we have to think about if we're going to be ready to eat this bread and drink this cup this morning. So Kathy's going to come and help me because I've got on the back of these chairs a few words that I hope will make us ready for eating and drinking. And the first word is preparation. That's a big word, isn't it? Preparation. You young people, I don't know, can I ask you this question? Do you ever get asked by mum or dad to lay the table? Do you? Are you good at it? Not bad. Would you come up and help me lay this table this morning? Kathy's going to be there to help you. I've got some things in the bag that are going to help you to lay the table. Because if you're going to eat and really enjoy it, you've got to have a table that's well laid, haven't you? Maybe some of you older ones, did you think about it setting the table? Did you ever have to do that? I bet you did it graciously, didn't you, when your mums and dads asked you, who's going to lay the table today? Me, I'll do it. Normally in our home, because mum had three boys, it was the strongest who didn't do it. And then the two weakest of us, we had to figure it out for ourselves. Now, she's laying the table. I am sure, boys and girls, I'm pretty sure, Jesus didn't have a knife and fork when he had his last meal with his disciples, which is what our meal around the table is all about today. I'm pretty sure he didn't have a knife and fork. Pretty sure he didn't have a kind of mug like that one or a placemat. We do know, I put a nameplate there, he shared the meal with his disciples. I only got room for one, so I put Peter. Okay? But I do know that he sent his disciples to get the meal prepared. They had to go to find the right room, get the right food, get everything ready for this meal that Jesus wanted to share with his friends. Now, it's one thing to get the table prepared. But the point I want to get across to you this morning is this. We need to be prepared ourselves for the table. We can get the table ready, but are we ready for the table? And the way you make yourself ready to eat this bread and drink this juice a little while into the service is by putting your own trust and your own faith and your own life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you get ready. Some of the adults may know this, I may have told them, but some years ago, I played a golf match. I played a golf match, and after I played my golf match, I went and got showered, got myself dressed, and I went up to enjoy the after-match meal. I was looking forward to it, because after 18 holes, the 19th hole is often the best. And when I got to the door to go in to where the meal was, they said to me, "You're not coming in." "What do you mean I'm not coming? I've just played a match. I even won it." "What do you mean I'm not coming in?" They said, "You're not properly dressed." Well, I mean, I'm not a fashion icon, as you all know. You know, but I had a suit and tie on. But apparently you can't just come in with any old tie. I had to have a club tie. And they wouldn't let me go in and have the meal without a club tie on. Fortunately, I didn't go hungry because I still got the one that somebody bought for me on that day. It was lovely, isn't it? Lovely. But I couldn't go in without this tie. And if I wanted the meal, I had to put the tie on first. And you young people, when we come to eat that bread and we come to drink that juice, we're not becoming Christians. No. No, you don't become a Christian by eating that bread and drinking that juice. It's because you've become a Christian that you can eat the bread and drink the juice. And I wonder this morning if, in terms of salvation and trusting your life to Jesus, are you prepared? Have you got your tie on? Now, you don't need a tie on to eat at this table. That's why I deliberately left mine off this morning. It's not how you're dressed on the outside that means you're ready to eat at this table. It's how you're dressed on the inside. Are you ready? The table's getting prepared. Are you ready? We've got another word, not just preparation. Some of you are already trying to get to the end, aren't you? Hey, what word's going to come up next? Well, here's the next word. Okay. Can you see what it says? Invitation. Invitation. Jesus said by way of invitation, do this, eat the bread, drink the juice, do this in remembrance of me. Now it's more of a loving command than invitation, but to anybody who wants to follow Jesus Christ, every invitation is a command, every command is an invitation. So if you're prepared, the invitation is to come and eat. Aren't they marvellous words? Did you read in the paper this week? A survey's been done about the most popular phrases that people like to hear. Do you know the most popular phrase that people like to hear, boys and girls? I love you. Well, I'd expect that to be right at the top, wouldn't you? Yes. Number two, any of you read this? I forgot you don't read here, do you? Number two is, I forgive you. But number three, do you know what number three most popular phrase that people like to hear in this country? Dinner is ready. Well, look, dinner is ready. It's ready. And we're invited to come and share it. And so who's going to come up and open the next bag? Would you come up, Kathy, help? Because what I've got in the next bag is, as you'll see, some flowers. Because, you know, often when you lose somebody and when you want to remember somebody, we use flowers, don't we? I don't know if Jesus had any flowers on the table when he had that last meal with his disciples, but I'm going to put some on the table this morning and see what a great flower arranger you are. I'm going to carry on. But you see, that's the point. They're there so that we don't forget. Sometimes we've got the habit of forgetting things that we should be able to remember. Sometimes we remember things that God wants us to forget. But the great thing about the invitation is that we're to do this to remember Jesus as often as we do it, so we don't forget what he's done for us. We're going on, well, we hope to go on holiday this year, back to the Isle of Wight. If I can get the passport sorted out in time. But I used to go, my mum's still there. I used to go when I was this high, really pretty much to this high every year. And we went to this lovely big old house on the Isle of Wight. Oh, it was a big house. Seemed to go up forever and out forever. And the garden just went on forever. It was a lovely place to stay. And quite often when we'd had a whole day on the beach, we'd go back to this big house. Mum and Dad would say, right, up to your room, get yourself washed, get yourself changed, and come down for dinner. But you know, after a day at the beach, don't you get tired? So instead of going into the bathroom, which we were asked to do, we went straight into the bedroom, fell on the bed, and often went straight off to sleep. But then, it was wonderful. Suddenly we heard this great big noise. Somebody downstairs was banging this big gong. Any of you older ones here remember the Rank organization? When the film starts, you've got this big fella coming on and he's banging that gong. That's what it sounded like. And it was news to our ears, good news to our ears. We woke up and we knew we were invited to go down and enjoy dinner with people that we loved. And with food that we knew we were going to enjoy. And you know, we're here invited. The table's ready. Dinner is ready. Now, are you hearing God inviting you? Are you ready for what he invites you to? Well, that's the second word. The third word is this. I wonder if you've got the idea yet. Preparation, invitation, examination. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to pass out a test. I'm not talking about that kind of examination. We can be ready for the table because we know Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. And the table can be ready for us, but just because we're able to come to the table and accept God's invitation doesn't necessarily mean that we're all today acceptable for the table. So I've got something else in a bag just to remind us of this. Who's going to come up? Would you come up? You might not appreciate this, but open up the bag. Because I don't know about you boys and girls, but again, when I was young, it wasn't just enough to be sitting at the table. I had to sit up at the table. Do you know the difference? So I got some hand sanitizer. How many of you have mums and dads that say, have you washed your hands? Yeah? You don't need to go and have another bath, do you? Have you washed your hands? Are you clean enough, ready enough to come to the table? My mum and dad used to say, sit up at the table. Get your elbows off the table. Don't lean back on the chair at the table. Any of you have parents like that? What were they trying to teach me? Good manners. Good manners. Now, we're prepared, if we know and love the Lord Jesus, to come to the table. We've been invited to come, but we don't just come casually. We've got to make sure every time we come to this table that our hearts are clean as they can be. That's the challenge, isn't it? Because taking this meal, when we have the bread and wine passed around in a minute, if you don't know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, you can come and know and love him today. So this might be the first meal for you that you've shared with Jesus, even though it was the last one he was going to share with his friends. You just trust him, believe him, you know, you're ready. But some of us, you know, when the bread comes along and the wine, we pass by because we know in our hearts there are things that we do that break God's heart, and we're not really sorry for them. It's not that we're not a Christian. We're friends with God, but we're not in a good place with God. And so when the bread comes and the wine comes, it's not an opportunity to cop out and say, well, I'm not ready for the Lord today. Listen, this is the opportunity. This is why we do it as often as we need to do it, so that we can keep our hearts clean with the Lord. That there's nothing in our life that ought to be forgiven that isn't forgiven. That's why John tells us, In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, if we own up to our shortcomings, if we say, Lord, I've messed up again this week, I did things that I didn't really want to do, and given the chance to do them, I wouldn't do them again, then he is going to be faithful and true to himself, and he's going to forgive us. So I hope as you come to the table this morning, youngsters and older ones, because it's not how old you are. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're old enough. But don't come casually. Examine yourself and see if there's anything this morning that would dishonor God in the way you eat and the way that you drink. I hope there's not, but if there is, you can ask forgiveness. And that's why we come to the table, because God gives us the opportunity once again to be forgiven and to be satisfied. That's the next word, satisfaction. Satisfaction. Do you want to come and open this bag? When I say satisfaction, what I mean by that is this. That it's not like a McDonald's Happy Meal. Any of you ever had a McDonald's Happy Meal? And then if you feel like you needed another two after you had a McDonald's Happy Meal, because it doesn't fill you up, does it? It's one of my frustrations as a granddad that when the children say, we want a Happy Meal, I'm thinking, oh no, because most of what you get in the box of a Happy Meal is the toy. We don't want a toy. We want some food. A few chips and a few nuggets or a burger, and they're always saying 10 minutes later, what else is there to eat? What else is there to eat? Now listen to me, boys and girls. All we've got on the table is a little bit of bread and a bit of grape juice. Now that's not going to fill you up in terms of your stomach. But what those little bits of bread and that grape juice points us to is Jesus Christ, who alone can satisfy us in every area of our life. They are a sign, a symbol to point us to the one who satisfies. You're never going to be satisfied just by eating food. You're never going to be satisfied just by making a lot of money. You're never going to be satisfied by being the most popular person in the class or in the area. You're only going to be satisfied if you go to where the bread and the juice points us to, Jesus Christ, who is the living bread and the true vine, and nobody satisfies like him. Isn't that marvelous? That's why, what have we got in the bag? That's the wrong bag there, Kath. Okay, we'll save that one. Okay. We got the menu. Can't have a table that's set without a menu, can you? So what does it say? Where's the... You read it for us. What's on the menu? Can you read it?
Bread.
And
grape juice.
Grape juice. Okay, and can you read the verse that goes with the bread?
While we're eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body.
And can you read the bit that goes with the grape juice?
Then Jesus took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Let's give her a round of applause. That's brilliant. Be terrible, wouldn't it, to have a table that's prepared and no menu on it. But all that's on the menu points to the one who satisfies. When I drive away from home sometimes to go different places, when I start to come back home, I see signposts that tell me Southampton. Now, wouldn't I be stupid if I stopped at the signpost and thought I'd arrived home in Southampton? A signpost is there to point you home. It's not home itself. The bread and wine are signposts that point us to Jesus. He's the one that satisfies. You can come to church, you can sing the songs, you can be blessed by a service or bored by a service. Doesn't matter. But until you've come to Jesus, you're never going to be satisfied. I couldn't do it. There's no leader in this church that can do it. There's no song that you can sing that can do it. Only Jesus can. Now, there's one other word here. And this word is, of course, appreciation. Because before you start to eat anything at the table, what do? You say thanks. We call it saying grace. Some of you were taught for what we are about to receive. May the Lord make us truly thankful. I found a couple of graces here. My son used to love to do the Superman grace. Thank you, God, for giving us food. Thank you, God, for giving us food. Daily bread. Daily. Did any of you do that one? It's great, isn't it? That really takes off. I love this one. When you say thanks, some of you can take this back with you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this food and would pray in eating it that you perform the miracle of removing all the calories from our dessert. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? This is my particular favorite. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me gratitude with this delicious feast. Thank you for teaching me patience while waiting until it's time to eat. Thank you for teaching me faith, expecting food, never having doubts. And thank you for teaching me suffering by providing these Brussels sprouts, which I think is really good. God is good. God is great. Let us thank him for our food. Before Jesus gave the disciples bread, before he gave them the juice, he said thanks. Now, are we making a meal of it? When we say we're making a meal of something, some people understand that to mean we're going over the top. We're making too much of it. We're getting too serious about it. Listen to me, folks. Don't you feel, in light of what God has done for you and me in Jesus Christ, that we shouldn't be really, really thankful? Doesn't it just overwhelm you, what he's done? It staggers me. And I hope every time you have a meal and you say thanks, you remember God's goodness. And then last of all, there is what I call the imitation. What does imitation mean? When you imitate somebody, you copy them. You follow them. And those of you who've been here as bigger people over the last month or so, you know that we've been copying and following Jesus in all the different places that he's taken to us. We've called it shadowing. You know what a shadow does, boys and girls? Copies the person that it's shadowing. If you walk along in the sunlight and you've got your hands in the air, do you know where your shadow is going to have its hands? In the air. If you're walking along and you're hopping, do you know what your shadow is going to be doing? If you're walking along picking your nose, do you know what your shadow is going to be doing? It is. Shadow does exactly what you do, and we should be people who want to get down from the table and do what Jesus did. Do you have to ask permission to get down from the table? I hope you do. I had to. Can I get down from the table now? Sometimes it was a very quick ask. If I wasn't keen on what was coming for dessert, can I get down now? No. No. But Jesus got down from the table, sung a hymn, and went out to do the most lovely, wonderful thing for all of us. And if we're going to copy Jesus, if we're going to imitate Jesus, when we leave here this morning and we're going to eat this bread in a moment and drink this juice, and I do pray that you're prepared, you know and love the Lord Jesus as your friend and Savior, your sins have been forgiven, then you're invited to come. Everything is ready if you are, and you've examined yourself, and you know there's nothing that stands in your way, that only Jesus can satisfy, and you're thankful in your heart, then I pray that when you leave this morning, and this is what I've got in the last bag, and I'll do it quickly. I've got a number of after dinner mints. I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't have any after dinner mints. But you know, you take an after dinner mint when the meal's finished, and at the end of the service, when we've had our bread and juice in a moment and sung our last song. I'm going to be at the back there. Maybe Kathy will be back there with me. Got a few of these. And for the younger ones to start with, if there's enough to go round, hopefully you can all have one. But I hope that you'll take an after-dinner mint to remind you not just what a great service you've had, when you're thanking me for it at the end, okay? Not just a great service, but you're ready to go out and do great service for the Lord. He went out, and a day later, he would hang upon that cross, and he would die a death for our sins, so that even when we die, we can be sure of heaven. I don't think any of us are going to have to do anything that difficult this week. But look at what you can do in your school and in your home if you go out and imitate Jesus Christ. If you want an after dinner mint, I hope you do, as you take it and eat it and enjoy it, I challenge you, youngsters, older ones, go out and do something in Jesus' name that's going to bless somebody in your home, in your family, in your school, or around this community. Amen? Amen.